Well, I love the children, and I hope that they will keep singing and but I appreciate them and you know, whenever I see something like this, it's not hard at all to understand why the Lord Jesus used children for examples the way that he did. There's a humility there that I wish that we could retain. Sometimes it's really difficult to try to get a group of adults to do something, but children always seem to be willing to do what you ask, and I appreciate them very much singing for us today. I want to ask for your prayers, and I want to direct your attention to begin with to some scripture found in the fourth chapter of Genesis. And this isn't actually going to be my main scripture reading today, but there's something I want us to look at for a moment, just a couple of verses in Genesis chapter 4. Because in this, we find that before the flood ever came, in what is commonly known as the antediluvian world, the world before the flood, there was something that was accomplished through the descendants of Cain, and through Lamech. But there was a man by the name of Jubal, and he was a descendant of Cain, and he was obviously an inventor and originator of musical instruments. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 19, it said, "And Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Ada, and the name of the other Zillah. And Ada bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ." And so this seems to be, as I said, the origin of musical instruments. And then we don't read a whole lot about them, I don't believe, on through the book of Genesis. Now, the fourth chapter of Genesis here told us about a harp and an organ. And here at our church, we have a piano, and we now have an organ. And I know that the organ that is mentioned here, and I believe that it would be obvious to all of us that it's not talking about the type of organ that we have here before us, but the organ that's mentioned in this fourth chapter of Genesis, it's my understanding, was a wind instrument, and it was similar to what you and I would know today as a flute. And so we're talking here about a harp and a flute. It seems that the use of music, it seems like that perhaps David really boosted that, the use of music there. It seems that during his days as a king, that it became a big thing among the children of Israel. And of course, we know David was a musician himself. And we find that in the scriptures that musical instruments, that they were used for various reasons. And I'm sure that you Bible readers and Bible studiers have recall reading about how that David could play very soothing music on his harp, and that he could soothe Saul when there was a time when Saul had an evil spirit, And David was able to play his harp and was able to soothe him. And so we know that it became, it seems to have become a big thing among the kingdom there in the days of David. Solomon greatly promoted music. You can read in Ecclesiastes how that Solomon, when he became king, that he gathered to him men singers and women singers and all different sorts of music. And he had there among the kingdom, he had what I believe we today would call an orchestra and a great choir. And we read about in the days of Babylon, during the years of Israel's captivity in Babylon, we read about music there being used in a very evil way. There was a decree that was passed there when the children of Israel were captive in Babylon, that whenever that Nebuchadnezzar had built this big idol, and whenever they heard the sound of the music, that they were to bow down and worship the idol. And so music was used there to promote something that was very wrong and very evil. We, in our churches today, we don't use a lot of musical instruments. I know that throughout churches, I know churches have different rules, and I know throughout churches that oftentimes certain instruments are actually, churches will actually have a rule that we do not allow certain instruments to be played, and certainly, churches have the right to make rules. My personal belief is that God can be honored with any instrument. I believe that God could still be honored through an orchestra the way that he has been in days gone by. But in saying all of this, there's something that the Lord placed upon my heart today, and I want to talk about a very specific type of instrument that we read about in the Bible that was used in very unique situations. And I told my wife today, and she looked at me like I was kind of strange, which she's prone to do, but I told her today that I was going to preach a sermon about trumpets. And that's what I want to speak about today. And I want to use the title, When the Trumpet Sounds. And a trumpet that we read about in the Bible, first we need to understand that they were not like the trumpet that we are accustomed to today. They were not the little brass wind instrument with the three keys where you can change the tone of the music. A trumpet in Bible days, when you read about a trumpet in the scriptures, you're reading about something that was generally made from the horn of an animal. The Bible in the book of Joshua, in the sixth chapter of Joshua, it talks about the trumpets that were made of ram's horns. And so they were generally made of the horn of an animal, or made of something in the likeness of the horn of an animal. They would have the ones that were that were manufactured, they would be made like the horn. They would have a smaller tube, and then they would open to a bigger opening where the tone would exit. And a trumpet was capable of making a very loud, far-reaching sound, especially if you got, as they did at times, where you had 120 people blowing a trumpet at the same time, the sound of a trumpet could be heard from a great distance. And so a trumpet in the days of the Bible, it was something that would project one long monotone type sound. It may have not even been something the way that they were made in that day. It may have not even been something that would have been really best suited for use in an orchestra or something with different instruments, because there really was no change in the tone. That just made a long, loud blast. And I want to ask you to turn with me now, if you would, to some scripture found in the 19th chapter of the book of Exodus. And we're going to begin to read about the use of the trumpet. Exodus chapter 19, beginning with verse 10. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. And be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, Take heed to yourselves, that ye go not up into the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not an hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, Be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. Now, we need to realize here that when it's talking about the children of Israel gathering here at this mountain, that we're not talking about a little bitty group of people. There was a large number of people that were gathered here. And it tells us that the voice of the trumpet was exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. Now, I don't know why that God did this, but I find, you know, everything that's in the Bible, everything in the Word of God, I find interesting in some way or another. It's all interesting to me. And I don't know why that the Lord did what he did. I don't know why that he chose this means. But I do know that through studying the scriptures, that God chose the sound of a trumpet to be used, not necessarily for entertainment, the way that other instruments perhaps were used, not to be used as the harp that David played was used to play soothing music and to soothe Solomon, or Saul rather, when he was in an evil way. But the trumpet, God chose trumpets to be used. And we have example after example, and I want to share some of them with you. God chose the sound of a trumpet to be used in a under very unique circumstances. When you read about the sound of the trumpet in the scriptures, you know that something big is getting ready to take place, as it was here in the 19th chapter of Exodus. God, at the sound of the trumpet, there were two things here that I want you to remember. When this trumpet sounded long, God was descending upon that mountain. He was coming down and he was descending upon that mountain there in the fire and in the smoke, there to be among the people. And the people, as they heard the sound of the trumpet, they were ascending towards the mountain. Now, they weren't allowed to go up on it. They weren't allowed to touch it. They were only allowed to approach it so far, and they were told, if you touch this or if you try to step on this mountain, you're going to die. You're in the presence of a holy God, and you can only come so far. But that's what happened. That's what was happening when they when the sound of the trumpet blew and waxed long and louder and louder. God was coming down there, and they were approaching unto him. We read about, I want to share about five or six examples with you here from the scriptures. We read about the trumpets being blown when the walls of Jericho fell. Jericho was the first Canaanite city that Israel conquered when they went into the promised land. And you no doubt have read about and heard songs about the walls of Jericho coming down. And the people in Jericho, they were very much afraid. You know, God had told his people to march around for 6 days, that they were to march around that city once. And no doubt the people in Jericho, and when I, you know, based upon what I read about that, and what I read about how that Rahab the harlot, when the spies went to her house, you know, she said, we've heard these great things about your God and what he's doing, and we are afraid. And I picture those people sitting there in Jericho, and here's Israel marching around it for 6 days in a row. They're marching around that city, and I imagine those people in there being very afraid and very nervous and realizing that we are about to be overtaken. And so they marched around that for 6 days, once a day they marched around it. And then God had instructed them that on the seventh day they were to march around that seven times, and that the priest were to blow the trumpets. And that's where we read about the trumpets being made of the ram's horns. And seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns, they were to sound the trumpets. And then when the trumpets were sounded, Joshua instructed the people to shout with a great shout, because he said, the Lord has given you this city. And I imagine, you know, that the sound of those trumpets, when that long, great noise began to come from those seven trumpets, I imagine that that was a fearful thing to hear in the ears of the people there that were in Jericho. You know, when they heard that trumpet sounded, perhaps they realized that the destruction of their city was nigh upon them. But unto the people of Israel, it signified that great victory was about to take place. Amen. When they heard the priest, their priest, blowing the sound of the trumpets, no doubt they realized God is just about to deliver this city into our hands. He's just about to give us great victory. In Leviticus chapter 25, and I'm going to go through some of these quickly, and then you can look at them yourself. But in Leviticus chapter 25, we hear of the use of trumpets being blown when the year of Jubilee, that 50th year, when the year of Jubilee was upon them, after the land had had the seven cycles of her Sabbaths, and the Jubilee was there, they blew the trumpet. In 2 Chronicles chapter 5, you can read about the blowing of the trumpets when Solomon had finished the work of the temple, and the Ark of the Covenant was brought to the temple. There they blew the trumpets. In 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 39, you can read about, and this was something that was common, but you can read about the blowing of a trumpet when Solomon was anointed as king. And in 1 Samuel chapter 13, you can read about the sound of the trumpet when Jonathan had been victorious in battle against the garrison of the Philistines. He had won a battle, and Saul ordered that the trumpet be blown, and it signaled that there had been victory, that God had given to Jonathan great victory. Trumpets were used in those days also to prepare people for battle. You know, the soldiers, if they heard the sound of the trumpet, they realized that it was time to fight, that it was time to go into battle. And so there was always something, it seems, the sounding of the trumpets always seemed to mark something very momentous. Something big was going to happen when the trumpet sounded. And if we look in the 58th chapter of Isaiah, and we look in the 33rd chapter of Ezekiel, and I want you to know something, that the scriptures also use the trumpet in this way. Listen, when the gospel is being preached, the trumpet is being blown. It's being blown. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 1. And I know that, I know that in our lives, and I know that oftentimes as God's people, we don't enjoy being preached to oftentimes. Those sermons that we hear preached about how that we need to live our lives for the Lord, and we need to devote ourselves to His service, and we need to give and give and give to God, and we need to not be selfish and not be thinking of ourselves, that we need to be thinking of others. And I realize that oftentimes that we don't like to hear those things. But listen, when danger is approaching, when there are things that will endanger our spiritual lives as God's people, somebody's got to sound the trumpet. Somebody's got to sound the alarm. I believe that's exactly what God was telling Ezekiel. I believe that's exactly what He was telling Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 58, verse 1, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins. In Ezekiel chapter 33, we find that the watchman was responsible to sound the trumpet. Now, he wasn't there. He wasn't talking about, him actually getting a ram's horn and sounding it. He was talking about the word of God. He was to warn them of the danger that was approaching them. And in Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 1 through 9, you can read about that. And let me tell you something. You can also read in that that Ezekiel said that when the watchman, if he sees the sword coming and he does not sound the trumpet, that the blood will be required at his hands. And I'm going to have enough to deal with myself. I don't want your blood on my hands. I'd rather just sound the trumpet and do what the Lord has for me to do. Well, I believe that probably you realize and know where I'm headed with this. Because the trumpet has been blown for many years. Through the gospel, it's still being blown today. I'll tell you what, folks, it was a big deal. It was a big deal there when they were walking around Jericho, when they were marching around that city, and those priests finally on that seventh day, at the end of their march, when those priests took that those seven ram's horns and they began to blow those things, I mean, that was a big deal. It was a big event. And I'll tell you what, it's a big thing when the Word of God is being preached too. And we better give heed to it. Sometimes, those people there in Jericho, I'm sure that they couldn't, that wasn't something that they could just brush off. No, they knew what was getting ready to happen. They heard that the sound of that trumpet was an awful sound to them. They knew that destruction was getting ready to come. And sometimes, the preacher, whoever that he may be, the preacher that stands and proclaims the truth and sounds the trumpet before the people. I'm afraid sometimes we take it so lightly, but I'm going to tell you something. When God's word is being preached, there's something very important that's happening. There's something that ought to be well noted, and that we ought to give heed to the warnings of God. If you, let me tell you this, if you ever think that you have a pastor that's just preaching his sermons, you ought to get rid of him. That'd be my advice to you, get rid of him. But if you believe that he's following the Lord and preaching God's message to you, you better take heed to it. Because God's not going to take it lightly if you take it lightly. One of these days, after all that we have read about, and I've only spoke about a small part of the examples that we have in the scriptures, but the trumpet, different ways, has been blown for years. But the Bible teaches me that there's going to come a sounding of the last trumpet. The last trumpet. And I love what Paul said. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I love what he said very plainly, and I'm going to share that verse with you in a minute. But in that verse, he stated in that chapter, and in, I believe, verse 51 or so in that chapter, Paul stated very emphatically, very plainly, the trumpet will sound. Do you think the world today around us really gives much thought to that? That the trumpet is going to sound. Now, I don't know how far that those ram's horns could be heard. I don't know, you know, how far that sound would have carried there. I'm convinced, as I said, that the people there in that walled city of Jericho, that they were able to hear it. I do know that a trumpet was something that could be heard from a long distance. But I don't know how far or how many miles away that a person may have been able to actually be and hear somebody sounding a trumpet, even if there was 120 of them sounding. I don't know how far that distance would carry or how far that noise would carry, rather. But I do know this, that when the Lord sounds the last trump, it's going to be that which will be heard by everybody. I mean, from one end of the earth to the other, the last trump will be heard. Do you know what? The Bible teaches me that trumpet will be so powerful that even those that are laying in the grave that have decayed, those bodies that have decayed will hear the last trumpet. Isn't that something? Here's what the Bible teaches us about it. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. One of these days, it may be today. We don't know. You know, only God knows that. It may happen today, it may happen tomorrow, but bless your heart, it's going to happen. One of these days, this world is going to hear the great sound of a trumpet. If I understand right what Jesus was teaching us, there's going to come a day when people are going to be going about their everyday lives. They're going to be eating and drinking. They're going to be marrying and giving in marriage. And they're not going to be paying any attention to anything or expecting anything unusual. And suddenly the blast of the trumpet is going to sound. It's going to sound. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now we may be among those of us that are here today that are blessed enough to be saved. We may be among those that are alive and remain at his coming. Or we may be among those that have long since gone to sleep in the Lord, and they've laid our bodies under the ground there to await the resurrection. To those of us that are saved, when the trumpet sounds, it's going to be something very different than it will be to those that are lost. I see the same thing there between the Israelites and the people of Jericho. The lost friend, listen. If that trumpet sounds in your lost condition, I can't even tell you, I can't even describe to you what it's going to be like to hear the last trumpet and not be ready. But I'll tell you what I believe it'll be to the people of God. I believe it'll be a great big alarm clock. It'll signal that it's time to wake up. It's time to wake up from sleep. I believe that's exactly what Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to share this verse with you before I'm finished. 1 Corinthians 15 verses 51 and 52. Paul said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Now, listen. If I die before the Lord comes back, don't worry about me. Just take my body somewhere and bury it, and I'll just lay there, and I'll just wait for the sound of the trumpet. I'll just wait to hear that last trump, and it'll summons me from the grave, and I'll rise up to meet the Lord in the air, and along with all of those that are saved, to meet him in the air, and there forever be with the Lord. Let's get a song. If you're here today and you're lost and without God, the sound of the trumpet. Well, I'll tell you what, it'll be far worse than it was to the people of Jericho. The last trump. Listen, there's people in the world today that'll tell you something different than this, but don't you believe it. When that last trumpet sounds, I'm telling you, the last opportunity to be saved is over. It's over. There won't be any opportunities after that. When the Lord sounds that trumpet and descends from heaven with a shout, the doors of mercy are going to be closed forever, and nobody else is going to be saved after that. It's over. It's the last trumpet. It's the last trumpet that's ever going to be sounded. And so, while we stand and have a song, if you're here today and you're lost, I pray that you'll make your preparations, for the sounding of the trumpet is surely coming. It's surely coming while we stand and sing.
Church hymnal number 380 at the top, 380.